We've come to the fifth and final sermon in our series considering the baptismal promises of the baptismal covenant. We've heard about who we are most fundamentally as creatures of God, made for abundant life in relationship. And today we're going to consider one of our most fundamental commitments to work for justice and peace and human dignity. In a sense, we're drawing from two texts today. I'm recording once again from the rooftop of our building. I can see the cathedral in the background, and you can see the Washington Monument behind me. You might hear helicopter noises or police sirens. That is the nature of life in our city. Because the first text is what has been going on for some time now in our city, particularly downtown and throughout the world, with constant anti-racism protests, even during the coronavirus pandemic. I've only been downtown during daytime when things have been pretty quiet. I'm told that in the evening hours, people are still gathering, although not so many of them, calling for justice. In the early days, I was struck by the extraordinary diversity of the peaceful crowds, peaceful by any measure, but especially diverse by race and age. The predominant chant then was the thoroughly biblical chant of no justice, no peace. That's straight from Holy Scripture. Now, I'm both worried and scared by the increasing use of protesters of every stripe carrying weapons, carrying guns in the open and around the country. I'm concerned about public safety and perhaps especially for our police forces who seem to be being engaged in confrontations not of their own choice. While I understand what some calls to defund the police mean, I find it an extraordinarily unhelpful slogan in terms of bringing about change. I'm certain there are bad actors with bad agendas involved in many of the escalations, but without clear evidence, it's really poor form to be assigning blame. At any rate, all of this takes away from the fundamental call that Black Lives Matter, which asks us to turn our attention to our long history of both conscious and unconscious racism, along with personal and interpersonal and systemic racism. This is a call of our covenant to work for justice, to work for peace, and to respect the dignity of every human being. It certainly seems as though the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, combined with what we know about who is most affected by the coronavirus, combined with serious stimulus and support actions by both Congress and the Federal Reserve Bank, that we are a moment when significant change to the reality of long-standing racial injustice, with all its attendant issues of poverty and diet and healthcare and housing and employment and living wages and on and on and on, it seems we just might be at a point where significant change is possible. What we know with absolute certainty is that significant change in our country addressing these issues will involve how we raise and spend money. Our second text, the first being the streets of our city and what is happening there and around the world, our second text is, of course, our scripture readings for today from Isaiah and Matthew, both readings addressing what we might call biblical economics. The prophecy of Isaiah is made to Israelites in exile, far from home, under an oppressive regime, including an oppressive regime of system of taxation. And the prophet's invitation is to a banquet for which they do not have to pay. It's an invitation to feast on what really matters. And what really matters is both the reality of deep community as the people of God. Deep community as the people of God. And the promise that God will be faithful to the covenant, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, says the prophet. Feast on the reality of life-giving community and the promise inherent in God's covenant with the people. The people who are metaphorically milling about in an Eastern bazaar are being called from the oppressive marketplace to attend what really matters. What kind of community will they become when restoration and renewal happens? This is the same question for us at a turning point in our own time. What kind of community will we become? And what will it take to reverse centuries of racial injustice? These questions are implied by our baptismal covenant and are precisely about remembering who it is we were created to be and for what we were created in the first place. Matthew tells us the story of the loaves and the fishes, reminding us that in God's household, in God's economy, there is always enough and more than enough. Imagine being a disciple, being told to give a great crowd something to eat. It feels like too much. It seems impossible. Maybe it's as impossible as overcoming systemic racism and its economic and social effects. But might this precisely be the command to us in days of awareness of profound inequities in opportunity as well as outcome? You act. You, followers of Jesus, change things. You give these children crying out for bread, crying for justice, crying for peace. You give them something to eat. You give them something that will sustain them. And Jesus goes on to show that it is possible. In God's grace, it is possible that something real can happen. There will be continuing debate, of course, about national spending, debt, economic growth. We'll doubtless go on debating the size and proper role of government, and such opportunity for some fundamental change as we do achieve will likely be partial, however important. That said, I've recently been introduced to a new idea, or at least new to me, that seems to have some promise, which I'm only going to reference here in case you're interested. Scott Smith is a former Wall Street trader, among other things, and he's written a book called The New Operating System for the American Economy. And his advice suggestion boils down to this. We currently tax, he says, what we call the material economy, measured as income or as gross domestic product. And he distinguishes this from the much larger monetary economy, or the movement of intangible money. And so he compares our current taxation system with the water systems of the natural world. The water systems work well because of evaporation throughout the entire system, lakes and rivers and even oceans. Our tax system, he says, is like only taking lakes when we need to be drawing from the whole economy. His plan of taxing the movement of money by as little as 0.01% and ending all other federal taxes would release significantly more resources for the public good than our currently very high income level of income taxation and what it currently provides us. It's an interesting idea if it can ever take hold. I can only begin to imagine the possibilities of such a system, ensuring that we keep moving forward toward an ever more perfect union in which every person of every color, of every stripe, has a shot at knowing real justice and real peace and real opportunity, which many in our land are currently denied. All conditions by which we can respect the dignity of every human being. These are big thoughts, and doubtless for some would be considered turning from preaching to meddling. But I hope you will explore the ideas rather than rejecting them out of hand as something that could never work. It seems to me thinking like this, asking questions in light of both what is going on in the best of the protests around the country and in light of our scripture today, asking what kind of community makes for justice and peace, considering what we can do individually and collectively to meet the needs of our hurting brothers and sisters of color. Taking these questions seriously is a way of fulfilling the final promise of the moral catechesis section of our baptismal covenant. Thomas Friedman began a column earlier this week saying, "When people ask me about my mood these days, I tell them I feel as if I'm a reporter for the Pompeii Daily News in AD 79, and I'm sitting at the foothills of Mount Vesuvius, and someone just walked up and said and asked, 'Hey, do you feel a rumbling?' And my mood is also sober. But I continue to believe in the power of God and the power of God's people, the power of the baptized, as we seek to fulfill our promises to serve as a leavening hope for the world. And so for this, I say thanks be to God. And I offer these thoughts in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."